Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and I'll remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. From school funding to testing, you can learn about the important issues affecting Maryland students, parents, and schools by visiting the Maryland State Education Association's website at MarylandEducators.org. That's MarylandEducators.org, or go to SteinerShow.org and click on the Maryland State Education Association's banner. We are here with Charles Robinson, political and business correspondent for Maryland Public Television, who was in Annapolis yesterday for the inauguration. Charles, welcome. How are you?
First of all, Happy New Year to you, and glad to be back on the Mark Steiner Show.
Happy New Year to you, Dan. Happy New Year always. So, yesterday was, you know, an interesting day. This is the third Republican governor in 50 years, I think.
Yes.
In the state of Maryland. So talk about your sense of what happened yesterday at that inauguration, what you walked away with.
Well, you know, they've been talking kumbaya all week long, you know, how they want to reach across the aisle and, you know, find common interests. And that's great rhetoric, but now the governing starts. And today we will get our first glimpse of what the new governor's priorities are.
The budget will come out today, right?
No, the budget will not come out. It will be their version of what they want you to know about the budget.
Ah, got you.
The budget will actually come out on Friday, where we will see the hard numbers. This is a press conference to kind of preview the budget. As you can imagine, Mark, we've been asking, well, who's the budget director? Well, we now know who that is. That's the former Senator David Brinkley. And David Brinkley was on the budget committee, so he's familiar with this process. Probably the person that people are most pointed to is the former Anne Arundel County executive. I got his first name, Neil, and I'm drawing a blank on his last name, who switched parties. And he's been doing the actual hardcore, let's figure out what's in this budget. Let's talk a little real quickly about some of what the governor said during his campaign season. One, I think the state should have smaller government. That was something that Larry Hogan preached the entire time when he was on the campaign. The other was cut taxes. There's a real big problem with that, Mark. How can you reduce government and cut taxes at the same time? And we're going to find out a little bit how that works out. But he was vehement every time we asked him leading up to this week, we are going to cut taxes. The simplest one is the so-called rain tax, the Chesapeake Bay Restoration Fund. As you know, a number of jurisdictions across the state were not necessarily thrilled with having to impose this fee, or as they call it, the rain tax.
Right.
So I think that's the easiest one. But when you get down to real hardcore stuff, that's when things get crazy. So, like, to give you an example, the teachers union in this state has been running ads about trying not to cut education. And one of the things that's interesting is the state has some mandates that you have to do, and one of them is education. And what are you going to do with that? Remember, the teachers weren't fond of the Hogan campaign. They bet on the other guy. So they're all waiting and watching to see. The more interesting part to me is that you know that this state was ranked number one under 2 years under Mark O'Malley. This year, it dropped to number three. Who wants to be the governor says, hip, hip, hooray, we're number three.
So, I mean, I think there's a lot for us to watch and see how this breaks out. And I think that one of the issues that happened today, of course, was that the governor or our new governor, Hogan, already moved to block two environmental regulations. The implementation of phosphorus management tool on controlling what goes into the bay. He's saying that is not going to happen. O'Malley put it in, but didn't put it in soon enough for it to become a regulation, so that now it was under Hogan. Hogan says, no, we're putting it off for study, as well as a regulation that would have stopped pollution from coal-burning fire plants and forcing them to kind of put in new devices to keep them from polluting the air, that those have also been put aside. So you're already seeing, in some ways, where the governor may be moving.
Sure. Well, you know, politics is both a blood sport, and as I call it, reward your friends, punish your enemies. Governor Hogan's friends were the farmers, and they were really upset with this whole idea. You mean to tell me we can't put chicken...
Manure, Charles.
Yeah. we can't put chicken poop on our farm. And so guess what? He said, no, I'm not going to do that. He also, remind yourself also, he boo-hooed the state for not being business friendly.
Right.
And now he's in charge. So guess what? Yesterday, during his inauguration speech, one of his lines that has been oft repeated, Maryland is open for business. I keep asking, wasn't it always open for business? But, you know, that means that the business community is going to get some favorable treatment. And, you know, the other thing I think we all want to watch is how he's going to deal with Baltimore City and Prince George's County, the two largest jurisdictions that did not go for Hogan.
Along with Montgomery County, which did not go for Hogan.
And Montgomery County.
Right.
But I want to point specifically to Prince George's County and Baltimore City.
Okay.
And specifically as it relates to how they're perceived in this state. I think the rural counties have felt that the two largest jurisdictions took up too much money out of the budget. So Stephanie Rawlings-Blake has had dinner with Hogan. Rushurn Baker, who is the county executive from Prince George's County, has been down here saying, look, I need you to help me fund some projects, specifically that Purple Line, which would run a light rail system from the far eastern reaches of Prince George's County all the way over to Montgomery County. During the campaign, Hogan said, the governor said, I'm not going to be interested in mass transit projects. And he proved that by kind of hiring a guy who's not a mass transit guy.
Right.
And that's the former transportation secretary from New Mexico, who was rated as the top transportation guy in the state after he moved from New Mexico. So, you know, you're going to have this what I call the yin and the yang. And you will find people who will say, well, you know, we got to do stuff differently. Okay, fine. Let's see what the difference is.
I mean, you can see how this is going to heat up. I mean, I know, but as you said earlier, that he's been talking a lot about bipartisanship, and this is not going to be. He was actually doing the opposite of what Chris Christie did in New Jersey, even though he was the one giving the main speech for this inauguration yesterday. He's talking about bipartisanship, but the lines you're talking about right now seem like a real conflict. The question is, what will be the response of people like Senate President Mike Miller and House Speaker Michael Bush, and what role they're going to play, which could be different roles.
Right. Well, let's talk about the numbers. The Bushes, the Mikes, as we call them, have the numbers. You know, so if they don't like something, they can kind of kill it. But understand, and you know this, and I want to make sure the audience understands.
Right, right.
Maryland's a lot different from most states. The governor gets to set the budget. When he sends it to the legislature, all they can do is cut. They can't add anything. So the question will be, if they want to punish the governor in some kind of way or say, I'm not happy with something, will they take a pet project and go, we're not going to fund that? And that's what's happened in the past. When Ehrlich was in office, they told him that, well, you know, we don't like everything that you're doing, so we're going to try some different things. So we'll see that. So.
You know, there's so much going to be unfolding. Have you heard any scuttlebutt about what you think is going to happen when the outline of the budget is released today and the budget coming out Monday? Do you have any sense of what might be in it that we're waiting for? The rumors of what people are saying? I hate to deal with rumors. I'm just curious what you've heard with your ear to the ground in Annapolis.
Here's some of the ideas that have been kind of floating. One is doing across the board 10% pay cut. So the argument would be that everybody feels the pain. If you don't want to do that, find the things that you like and don't cause drama. And what I mean by that, the type of drama that will get the state wound up, start messing with the Chesapeake Bay. Start messing with education. And guess what? You will get a lot of drama. Now, the other part of that is to look how he treats both the Eastern Shore, the Lower Shore, and the Upper Shore, as well as Western Maryland. He believes that those jurisdictions don't get much love from the state. I hate to tell you, he's right, because there's not a lot of people out there. But by the same token, you know, Mark, you and I love the city, and we know that Baltimore is an engine for the state. Well, Hogan said, well, guess what? Baltimore is an engine for the state. But then in the same breath, he goes, but they've been in decline.
Right.
And Mark, I don't know about you, but if we're in decline, why did Under Armour put its headquarters here?
So, but I understand that. But what I'm curious about is I think that the question of what comes in the budget. I mean, the idea of a 10% across board pay cut for state employees. I think.
No, I'm not talking about 10% pay cut. I'm talking about cut everybody by 10%. All budgets. Just cut them by 10%.
You're talking about cutting personnel. What do you mean? Cutting their budgets by 10%.
Right. But understand that doesn't get you to the number that you need. So it's a tricky situation. You know, when the Ehrlich administration was in, they used, I don't want to call them gimmicks, because guess what? These are the tools that you have. They use fees as opposed to taxes to fill holes. Well, guess what? You don't have that anymore. One of the other things that he's talked about, and we'll see if it's going to happen, is to cut the tolls in the state. He's very much upset that I think it costs you about $6 to go across the bridge these days.
Yeah.
Because they get you on one end, but they don't get you on the other way. And he's not happy with that. So that's one of the ideas that they're talking about now, about cutting the tolls. I think he wants to cut the gas tax, but guess what? It's the old adage. Once you start it, it's hard to pull it back because it provides your revenue. So we'll see how it goes.
So what time does he deliver this? He does this by speech, or he does this by delivering the budget on paper to the delegates?
We'll probably get what is commonly referred to as talking points. In fact, I'm just watching as the budget secretary and the group that's put this together walk by me as they head over to the governor's mansion to pick him up to bring him back over here. So it'll be very interesting to see how it works.
So one final thing here, if in the couple minutes we have left, Charles, I'm curious what the sense of the crowd. I mean, I've been to a couple of those inaugurations, and each inauguration has a different crowd. The Ehrlich crowd was different than the O'Malley crowd who showed up. Talk a bit about the people who were there to cheer him on.
It was very interesting because it was bipartisan.
Uh-huh.
It was there were people who were staunch, you know, we love Larry, and there were people who said, I want to just sit. I met a woman who has a small business down in Prince George's County. She said, I didn't vote for him, but I got to be here because I hope he will look out for small businesses. And you know, it's those kinds of, you know, nuts and bolts that happen at inaugurations. I hate to say, it was a beautiful scene out here with the snow falling and, you know, and the governor, you know, raising his hand. You know, I've been to these things, but, you know, enough of them. That is normally, as you know, Mark, the coldest day of the year. And you're freezing and you're standing out and you're like, please end this. I think he got a charge from looking out at the masses who are here,
right,
and you know, because you've hosted one of these, it is a charge because people, it's how we see government and how we perceive government,
right,
and so, the what I call the transition from one administration. You know, I was telling
we're just about out of time, Charles.
Yeah, I know, but last but not least. The transition is always the coolest part of being down here.
Well, Charles, we look forward to seeing you in Annapolis. And, of course, we'll see you next Friday for the Annapolis Summit.
Yes.
And thank you so much once again for joining us for your commentary.
You're welcome.
Charles Robinson, political and business correspondent from Aaron Public Television. And to continue this conversation a week from tomorrow, Friday, January the 30th, join me, The Daily Record, and WEAA for our 12th annual Annapolis Summit. This is going to be a very interesting administration coming up. What's going to happen in Annapolis is going to be fascinating and really major shifts in Maryland. So it's your chance to talk to Governor Hogan, Attorney General Frosch, Senate President Miller, and House Speaker Bush about the issues affecting all of us and what's going to be coming up in this legislature. Time to ask your questions directly to these people. So for ticket information, go to thedailyrecord.com/Annapolis-summit. thedailyrecord.com/Annapolis-summit. Or call Claire Sheehan at 443-524-8101. That's 443-524-8101. to get your tickets to join us on the 30th of January, a week from tomorrow, for the 12th Annual Annapolis Summit at the Calvert House in Annapolis. And the Annapolis Summit is sponsored by Stevenson University, Baltimore Gas and Electric, the Maryland State Education Association, the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future, Alexander and Cleaver, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. And I'm Mark Steiner. You're listening to the Mark Steiner Show, of course, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We're going to take a very brief break. And on the way to break, we're hearing Mama Said by the Shirelles. Addie Harris of the Shirelles was born this day in 1940. First group I ever saw perform live at the Royal Theater way back when. We'll be right back. Stay with us.